W-2 Chippewa Falls, W-2280 P. Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. North Korean officials say they've decided to expel a Wisconsin soldier they've been holding since July. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The State Department hasn't yet commented about the news from North Korea about sending home a Racine soldier. In a statement overnight, North Korea announced its decision to expel American soldier Private Travis King, who, according to their state media, admitted to illegally entering the country and cited disillusionment with his treatment in the Army. The specifics of King's expulsion, such as how, when, and where, were not released. According to the Associated Press, Private King served 47 days in a South Korean jail for assault before running into North Korea. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
It seems unlikely the federal farm bill will be reauthorized before it expires Friday night. Wisconsin farm groups say most of the impacts wouldn't be felt right away. Margaret Crome is with the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute.
They will maybe not be all able to sign contracts, but they will be able to continue to function up until the end of December. But we are watching to make sure that they get implemented properly.
Experts say dairy prices could destabilize if a new bill isn't approved by the end of the year. The farm bill normally gets bipartisan support, but some Republican U.S. House members are pushing hard this time for spending cuts. Abortion opponents say they want district attorneys in Dane and Milwaukee counties to prosecute doctors who perform abortions. More from Nate Wegehout.
Planned Parenthood began offering abortion services in those two counties last week. Earlier this year, a Dane County judge ruled that the law that was interpreted as an abortion ban is actually a feticide ban. But Juliana Appling with Wisconsin Family Action says that the judge hasn't said the law shouldn't be enforced.
There has been no injunction issued against the enforcement of the statute, and no definitive ruling from this judge.
Both DAs have vowed not to prosecute doctors who provide abortions. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
State lawmakers are considering allowing Wisconsin's election clerks to count absentee ballots early. Right now, the law says absentee ballots can't be counted until Election Day. Supporters of a new bill say it would give local clerks more time to count absentee ballots. Backers also say added transparency would inspire more confidence in the process. The Speaker's Task Force on Human Trafficking holds its first hearings today. Some lawmakers say human trafficking is a growing problem in Wisconsin, and new laws are needed to fight it. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Wisconsin Republican proposed bill for nearly $3 billion tax cuts in the state has advanced in the legislature. The Joint Finance Committee voted 11-4 to advance the bill, and the Senate Universities and Revenue Committee took public testimony on it. The bill would lower the tax rate on the state's third income tax bracket from 5.3% to 4.4%. Governor Tony Evers is expected to veto the bill when it makes its way to his desk. Anti-abortion groups are calling on Milwaukee and Dane County District Attorneys to prosecute abortion providers. Planned Parenthood began providing abortions again after a July decision by Dane County Judge Diana Schlipper, ruling the 1849 law interpreted to potentially ban abortion did not actually apply to consensual abortions. Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm and Dane County District Attorney Ismail Ozan have both announced they will not enforce the law. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers win the division. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was champagne and goggles last night in the clubhouse. The Brewers were losing to the Cardinals 4-1, but then on the scoreboard, the word came in that the second-place Chicago Cubs had just lost 7-6 in Atlanta, and that meant the Brewers had clinched the NL Central, division winners for the sixth time in Brewers history. Team owner Mark Antanasio thanked the crowd of nearly 37,000.
You know, the guys in the clubhouse, this is as good a, as tight-knit a clubhouse as we've had, you know, our 19 seasons, and love those guys, and importantly, all these great of fans.
Outfielder Christian Yelich led the team this year in runs, total bases, and stolen bases, and talked about how hard it was this year to win a division title despite injuries to key players the first half of the season.
I mean, it's always hard. I mean, you got to play well as a team for a really long time, and it's a 6-month season, and there's a lot of ups, a lot of downs, there's a lot of good times, there's a lot of times where you're grinding as a team. Anytime you can win a division, it's really special.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell on winning his third division title since becoming manager in 2015.
You know, winning the division is always a goal at the beginning of the year. To do it, you know, almost regularly for the last 5 years is really meaningful.
Elsewhere in baseball, he was perhaps the best to ever play third base. Hall of Famer Brooks Robinson has died. Played his entire career for the Baltimore Orioles from 1955 to 1977. Won two World Series in 66 and in 1970. Was named the series MVP. Brooks Robinson was 86 years old. NFL, the Packers getting ready for their game tomorrow night against the Detroit Lions. Both teams with 2-1 records. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson has missed the first three games due to a hamstring injury, but says he'll play on Thursday night. Watson asked if this game was a target date for his return.
I mean, there was no date for me. It was just as soon as I was feeling like I could go out there and be Christian Watson was when I was going to go out there.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome in to the Stu Daniels Show on Wednesday morning. It's the 27th day of September. Hope you're having a good day so far. 7.5 minutes after 8 o'clock. And taking a look outside the window, looks like La Crosse is going to be cloudy today with a chance of rain. High around 69 degrees. In Eau Claire today, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. High around 68 degrees. Richland Center, cloudy. Chance of rain, high around 70. In Amory today, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 68. And up in Hayward, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and a high around 67 degrees. So you probably heard about the Brewers, right? The Brewers, champions of the Central Division in the National League. The Brewers did lose last night to the Cardinals 4-1, but the Cubs also lost. And that means the Brewers clinched the National League Central Division crown, had a big celebration in the clubhouse following their loss to St. Louis. And game two of that three-game series against the Cardinals is tonight in Milwaukee. So in the headlines today, there is more legal trouble for Donald Trump. A judge in New York has ruled that the former president committed fraud by repeatedly misrepresenting his wealth by hundreds of millions of dollars. Are you surprised? Also in the headlines today, from most accounts, it appears that the federal government is heading toward a shutdown starting this weekend. And for the first time in the history of the United States, yesterday, we saw a sitting president go out on the picket line and join the strikers, the UAW strikers in Michigan. And that's where we're going to start today. Let me give you a little bit of this story from the Associated Press, apnews.com, with a headline that says, Biden urges striking auto workers to stick with it in picket line visit unparalleled in history. This is in Van Buren Township, Michigan. It says here that President Joe Biden grabbed a bullhorn on the picket line Tuesday and urged striking auto workers to stick with it in an unparalleled show of support for organized labor by a modern president. Donning a union ball cap and exchanging fist bumps, Biden told United Auto Workers strikers that, quote, "you deserve the significant raise you need," end quote, as he stopped in the Detroit area just a day ahead of a planned visit by former President Donald Trump, the frontrunner for the Republican nomination in next year's election. And we should mention that Trump is going to the Detroit area today, but he's going to a non-union shop. Is that showing support for the strikers? The quote here by Joe Biden yesterday says, "no deal, no wheels." That's what the workers were chanting as Biden arrived at a General Motors parts distribution warehouse, one of several facilities that has been targeted in a widening strike now in its 12th day. They were also chanting, "no pay, no parts." Despite concerns that a prolonged strike could undermine the economy, particularly in the crucial battleground state of Michigan, the Democratic president encouraged workers to keep fighting for better wages at a time when car companies have seen rising profits. Asked if UAW members deserved a 40% raise, one of their demands over the course of negotiations, Biden said, quote, "yes, I think they should be able to bargain for that." He's repeatedly argued that auto companies have not gone far enough to meet union demands, especially after making concessions in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. And here's a quote. It says, "the fact of the matter," and I guess this is when he was talking to the UAW members yesterday. He said, "the fact of the matter is that you guys, the UAW, you saved the automobile industry back in 2008. You made a lot of sacrifices. You gave up a lot, and the companies were in trouble. Now they're doing incredibly well, and guess what? You should be doing incredibly well." That's the quote from Biden yesterday. And we should also mention that when that crisis in 2008 happened, the financial crisis following the presidency of George W. Bush, the auto industry was at the brink, right? You remember that? It looked like they didn't even know how to go forward. It looked like everything could collapse. So what did the new president do? Barack Obama, he sent in his vice president, Joe Biden, to help out and get the auto workers back to work and help out the auto companies. And if you remember, Donald Trump said that industry is never coming back. Just let it go. Referring to the auto industry, the United States auto industry. By now, if we had listened to Donald Trump, we'd all be driving cars from Japanese companies or Korean companies or European companies. It's a good thing we didn't listen to Donald Trump then. Getting back to this story at the Associated Press, it says the White House said Biden was the first modern president to visit a picket line, a sign of how far he's willing to go to cultivate union support as he runs for re-election. And if you know Joe Biden, I would say that it's not just to cultivate union support. Also because he believes in unions, right? That's what Joe Biden is all about. All right, can you hear me now? Yeah, something happened to my microphone. I apologize about that. But let's get back to the story. It says here, lawmakers often appear at strikes to show solidarity with unions, and Biden joined picket lines with casino workers in Las Vegas and auto workers in Kansas City while seeking the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. But sitting presidents who have to balance the rights of workers with disruptions to the economy, supply chains, and other facets of everyday life have stayed out of the strike fray until Biden. Unimpressed, Trump called Biden's visit, quote, nothing more than a PR stunt from crooked Joe Biden to distract and gaslight the American people from his disastrous Bidenomics policies that have led to so much economic misery across the country. And I don't know about, I'm not sure who Trump is referring to there, but it does seem to me like most people these days are saying the economy is working pretty well. And if you look at these statistics, the statistics definitely show that as well. The president spent less than half an hour at the Willow Run Parts Distribution Warehouse, where he was joined by UAW President Sean Fain, who rode with Biden in the presidential limousine to the picket line. And Mr. Fain said, thank you, Mr. President, for coming to stand with us in our generation-defining moment, said Fain, who described the union as engaged in a kind of war against corporate greed. He said, we do the heavy lifting. We do the real work, not the CEOs, right? The CEOs get paid anywhere between $20 and $30 million, but who's down there every day on the assembly line putting those vehicles together and sweating in the factory? Back to the AP story, it says here that labor historians said they could not recall an instance when a sitting president had joined an ongoing strike, even during the tenures of ardent pro-union presidents such as Franklin D. Roosevelt and Harry Truman. Theodore Roosevelt invited labor leaders alongside mine operators to the White House amid a historic coal strike in 1902, a decision that was seen at the time as a rare embrace of unions as Roosevelt tried to resolve the dispute. Biden's visit to the picket line was the most significant demonstration of his pro-union bona fides, a record that includes vocal support for unionization efforts at Amazon.com facilities and executive actions that promoted workers organizing. He also earned a joint endorsement of major unions earlier this year and has avoided Southern California for high-dollar fundraisers amid the writers' and actors' strikes in Hollywood. The United Farm Workers announced their endorsement of Biden yesterday, calling him, quote, an authentic champion for workers and their families, regardless of their race or national origin. Biden's campaign manager, Julie Chavez Rodriguez, is the granddaughter of Cesar Chavez, the union's co-founder. The UAW has not endorsed Biden. Asked about that after landing in Michigan, Biden told reporters that, quote, I'm not worried about that. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Going to take our first break. Stick around. It'll be a short one. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Still sounds as good as it ever has. All these years later, it's the Beatles. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 824 right now. We have 64 degrees and mostly cloudy skies in La Crosse right now. Mostly sunny in Richland Center with 63 degrees. And as I mentioned in the headlines, the former president, Donald Trump, got some bad legal news yesterday, which seems to be the general trend these days. In a story in the New York Times, it says here that a judge rules Trump committed fraud, stripping control of key properties. The decision in a lawsuit could go to trial next week, and it's a major win for Attorney General Letitia James, who says former President Trump overvalued his holdings by as much as $2.2 billion. That's right, billion. And this piece was posted late yesterday. It says a New York judge ruled on Tuesday that Donald Trump persistently committed fraud by inflating the value of his assets and stripped the former president of control over some of his signature New York properties. The surprising decision by Justice Arthur F. Engoron is a major victory for Attorney General Letitia James in her lawsuit against Trump, effectively deciding that no trial was needed to determine that he had fraudulently secured favorable terms on loans and insurance deals. It says here that Letitia James has argued that Trump inflated the value of his properties by as much as $2.2 billion and is seeking a penalty of about $250 million. That's a quarter of a billion, right? In a trial scheduled to begin as early as this coming Monday. Justice Engoron wrote that the annual financial statements that Trump submitted to banks and insurance companies, quote, clearly contain fraudulent valuations that defendants used in business, end quote. Ms. James, in a brief statement, said, "We look forward to presenting the rest of our case at trial." A lawyer for Trump, Christopher Keiss, indicated that he would likely appeal the decision, which he called outrageous and completely disconnected from the facts and governing law. He said that the judge ignored an earlier appeals court ruling and basic legal, accounting, and business principles. Trump, for his part, noted that Justice Engoron was a Democrat and called him deranged. While the trial will determine the size of the penalty, Justice Engoron's ruling granted one of the biggest punishment Ms. James sought, the cancellation of business certificates that allow some of Trump's New York properties to operate, a move that could have major repercussions for the Trump family business. And it says here the decision could terminate his control over a flagship commercial property at 40 Wall Street in Lower Manhattan and a family estate in Westchester County. 828, got to take a break. Stick around, you're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies, tell me lies. Oh, no, no, you can't disguise. You can't disguise, no, you can't disguise. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Although I'm not making friends, I hope that you understand. There's a reason why. Close your eyes. No more broken hearts. We're better off apart. Let's give it a try.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Hollywood writers are headed back to work after union leaders approved a tentative contract agreement with studios and streamers, ending a four-month strike. Entertainment attorney Jonathan Handel.
You know, we could have had meetings with the CEOs hands-on 150 days earlier and avoided some of the pain here.
North Korea says it will expel U.S. soldier Travis King after state media say he admitted to crossing the DMZ illegally in July. Reporter Alex Jensen from Seoul.
What's not yet clear is how and when. A concern given the tragic case of college student Otto Warmbier, who died after being released by North Korea in 2017.
Police in Philadelphia say more than 100 masked teenagers wearing hoodies looted a Foot Locker, a Lululemon, and an Apple store in Center City last night.
What we had is a bunch of criminal opportunists take advantage of a situation and make an attempt to destroy our city.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Democratic lawmakers in Wisconsin have proposed a package of bills to address the state's workforce shortage and address poverty. The bills would cover things like job and business development programs, skills enhancement programs, public transportation initiatives, and an emergency rental assistance program. The bills would also target homeless issues in the state by starting new programs for housing assistance and requesting a report to the legislature on the number of homeless children in the public school system. Labor leaders in Wisconsin say recent National Labor Relations Board changes will make it easier for residents to unionize, particularly in the service industry. According to a WPR report, companies caught using unfair labor practices under the new NLRB framework will be forced to negotiate with a union, and if a majority of workers express interest in joining a union, the employer is immediately required to bargain with the union or seek an election. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Going to the Bavarian Beer House. You can join us there. A little politics, then Packers.
Mike and Dom bring the show to you in the Milwaukee area at the Bavarian Beer House in Glendale. Join them Thursday starting at 4 with a Packers party after the live broadcast.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Crawl and you break.
like you're something else. Where you are and where it's at, you see, you're making me laugh out when you strike your pose. Take off all your preppy clothes. You know you're not fooling anyone when you become.
Music from Avril Lavigne. Happy birthday to Avril Lavigne, born on this date in 1984. Complicated. Hey, 61 degrees right now in Eau Claire under mostly cloudy skies, and 60 degrees in Amory, mostly cloudy there as well. 835, almost 836 right now. And speaking of complicated, that appears the way things are for the Trump organization. In New York, a judge yesterday stripping Trump of control over his signature properties. And it says here that the judge found Trump inflated his assets by over $2 billion. And just before the break, I was reading from a story in the New York Times. I'll get back to it now. We left off here where it said the decision by the judge could terminate Trump's control over a flagship commercial property at 40 Wall Street in Lower Manhattan, as well as a family estate in Westchester County. Trump might also lose control over his other New York properties, including Trump Tower in Midtown Manhattan and his golf club in Westchester. The order by the judge will not dissolve Trump's company itself, which is actually a collection of hundreds of entities, but the decision could nonetheless have a sweeping impact on the company's New York operations. If Justice Engoron's decision is not reversed by an appeals court, it could shut down an entity that employs hundreds of people working for Trump in New York, effectively crushing the company. The decision seeks to nationalize one of the most successful corporate empires in the United States and seize control of private property. That's what the lawyer for Trump said. The order would also unwind the Trump Organization LLC. That entity is relatively inconsequential. It's a vehicle for the sprawling company's brand name, but it has been synonymous with Trump from his earliest days as a developer with a penchant for tabloid publicity, bringing his father's outer borough business to the heart of Manhattan. While Letitia James' civil case had been overshadowed by the four criminal indictments of the former president, which are unrelated to Letitia James' accusations, the judge's decision yesterday, if it stands, will represent the first punishment to emerge from a government investigation into Donald Trump. And Justice Engoron's decision narrows the issues that will be heard at trial, deciding that the core of Letitia James' case was valid. It represents a major blow to Donald Trump, whose lawyers had sought to persuade the judge to throw out many claims against the former president. In his order, Justice Engoron wrote scathingly about Trump's defenses, saying that the former president and the other defendants, including his two adult sons and his company, ignored reality when it suited their business needs. Here's a quote. He said, "In the defendant's world," in other words, in Donald Trump's world, "rent-regulated apartments are worth the same as unregulated apartments. Restricted land is worth the same as unrestricted land. Restrictions can evaporate into thin air. That is a fantasy world, not the real not the real world, he added. The judge also levied sanctions on Trump's lawyers for making arguments that he had previously rejected. He ordered each of the lawyers to pay $7,500, noting that he had previously warned them that the arguments in question bordered on being frivolous. Repeating them was indefensible, Justice Engoron wrote. Even if Trump does not successfully appeal the ruling, he still has an opportunity to delay the trial or even gut the case. Trump has sued Justice Engoron himself, and an appeals court is expected to rule this week on his lawsuit. But if the appeals court rules against him, Trump will have to fight the remainder of the case at trial. Trump is his own most dedicated promoter, and for years has acted as a booster for the value of his buildings and his brand. The possibility that Trump's exaggerations could be criminal has long intrigued prosecutors, and the Manhattan District Attorney's Office at one point came close to indicting Trump on charges that he had misrepresented their value. The current district attorney, Alvin Bragg, declined to pursue that case, but later indicted the former president in connection with the hush money payment to a porn star. Ms. James, Letitia James, started investigating Mr. Trump in March of 2019 and filed a lawsuit against him last September, accusing him of staggering fraud in misrepresenting, or I should say in representing, the value of his apartment buildings, hotels, and golf clubs, among other assets. Her filings have accused Trump of using simple, duplicitous tricks to multiply the represented value of his signature properties, from Trump Tower to Mar-a-Lago. In one noteworthy example, she accused Trump of overestimating the size of the triplex apartment in Trump Tower in which he lived for decades, saying it was 30,000 feet, rather, I guess that's square feet probably, rather than about 11,000. Okay, so it's actually in reality about 11,000 square feet, but Trump often in documents would say it was 30,000 square feet. Justice Engoron seized on that, noting that Mr. Trump's lawyers had absurdly suggested that the calculation of square footage was subjective, and adding that good faith measurements might vary by as much as 10 to 20%, but not 200%. Here's a quote. A discrepancy of this order of magnitude by a real estate developer sizing up his own living space of decades can only be considered fraud. And those are the words of the judge yesterday. Trump's lawyers had asked Justice Engoron for a so-called summary judgment, a ruling that they were entitled to a victory before trial based on undisputed facts, seeking to toss out many claims against Trump. They relied heavily on an appeals court ruling from June that raised the notion that some claims against Trump might be too old to proceed to trial. Justice Engoron denied Trump's request, interpreting the appeals court ruling as relatively inconsequential for the case, while granting Letitia James a similar bid for partial summary judgment. Trump, of course a Republican, has denied all wrongdoing and accused Letitia James, a Democrat, of political persecution. His lawyers have noted that the banks that lent Trump money were hardly victims, they turned profits. They also argued that valuing property can be subjective, more art than a strict science. And here's a quote from Trump's lawyer. He said, the court disregarded the viewpoint of those actually involved in the loan transactions, who testified there was nothing misleading, there was no fraud, and the transactions were all highly profitable. He added that there was zero evidence of any default, breach, late payment, or any complaint of harm. But those are some of the very arguments for which Justice Engoron, with whom Trump's lawyers have tangled at every turn, issued sanctions. Quote, the documents do not say what they say, that there is no such thing as objective value, the judge wrote, paraphrasing their arguments as he saw them, and adding, quote, essentially the court should not believe its own eyes, end quote. In a footnote, he added a line from the movie Duck Soup, uttered by Chico Marx. Remember the old Marx Brothers movie, Duck Soup? The quote is, well, who you gonna believe, me or your own eyes? End quote. So that's the way the New York Times is reporting it this morning. Donald Trump facing more legal issues, more legal battles. It looks like he may lose control of much of the Trump organization. It will be interesting to see what happens next. We've got 8:45 right now, almost 8:46. I'm going to take a break. Stick around. It'll be a short one. You are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Stranger in the black sedan, I want you hop inside my car. I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman. By now I'm sure you know that I love you, love you. I need you,
need you.
I want you, got to have you tried. Great God in heaven, you know I love. And you know I love you. Oh, you know I do.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball. Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest. Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th. At the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at oktoberfestusa.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and us feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. It rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time. I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine to the California sun, hey, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything that we've done, your Bobby, baby, kept me from the whole world. One day up near Selena Sloan, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. Next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. But if feeling good was easy, alone when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Good enough for me and my Bobby.
Joplin on this Wednesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Mann, the newsman, on this Wednesday morning, 8:53, almost 8:54 right now. Got 64 degrees with mostly cloudy skies in La Crosse and 60 degrees in Hayward with cloudy skies. Hey, just before the break, we were discussing that story in the New York Times about the judge ruling yesterday that Trump committed fraud, also stripping control some of his key properties in New York City. Well, here's an analysis I found at the New York Times about the effects of that ruling on the former president. This news analysis by Maggie Haberman and Alan Feuer says here, the ruling against Trump cuts to the heart of his identity. The findings by a judge in a New York civil case that Donald Trump committed fraud
in valuing his real estate properties undermined the narrative of the business career that launched him in politics. And the story, or this analysis, was posted this morning, in fact, just a few minutes ago. It says here, nearly every aspect of Donald Trump's life and career has been under scrutiny from the justice system over the past several years, leaving him under criminal indictment in four jurisdictions and being held to account in a civil case for what a jury found to be sexual abuse that he committed decades ago. And it says, but a ruling on Tuesday by a New York State judge that Trump had committed fraud by inflating the value of his real estate holdings went to the heart of the identity that made him a national figure and launched his political career. By effectively branding him a cheat, the decision in the civil proceeding by Justice Arthur Engoron undermined Trump's relentlessly promoted narrative of himself as a master of the business world, the persona that he used to enmesh himself in the fabric of popular culture, and that eventually gave him the stature and resources to reach the White House. The ruling was the latest remarkable development to test the resilience of Trump's appeal as he seeks to win election again, despite the weight of evidence against him in cases spanning his years as a New York developer, his 2016 campaign, his efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss, and his handling of national security secrets after leaving office. The federal case accusing him of plotting to retain power despite his defeat at the polls 3 years ago paints him as a threat to democracy, as does a similar prosecution in Georgia. The classified documents case portrays him as willing to obstruct justice to cover up a reckless disregard for the laws that govern the handling of such documents. A New York prosecution stemming from hush money payments to a porn star in the closing stages of the 2016 election sets out evidence of the kind of political skullduggery he professes to want to eradicate from Washington, right? What happened to the idea of cleaning out the swamp? Back to the analysis, it says, so far, none of those cases has discernibly hurt Trump's campaign in the race for the Republican presidential nomination, which polls suggest he is leading by large margins. In fact, polls show the indictments have consolidated his support among Republicans. The prosecutions have helped his fundraising. Whether the effect of Justice Engoron's ruling is any different remains to be seen, but his finding imperils both Trump's public image and his business empire. The former president now faces not only the prospect of having to pay $250 million in damages, but he could also lose properties like Trump Tower that are inextricably linked to his brand. Trump's lawyer said the ruling is outrageous and said the decision would be appealed. He called it completely disconnected from fact and governing law. We'll see. Top of the hour, time for a break for news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.